Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahariyam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyaya 1 Adhikarna 1 Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, page 21. Some proofs indicated by the words he are as follows. Yasya deve para bhakti, bhakti, yata deve tata guru, tasyaite katita yarta, prakashante mahatmanaha. One who has this devotion to the guru as much as he has for the Lord manifests knowledge of the scriptures. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23,
where as Prabhupada says, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are revealed.
O Lord, the fools give up bhakti, the all-inclusive path, and suffer to attain realization of Atma without bhakti. They simply attain suffering and nothing else. They are like fools who beat empty husks. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4.
Okay, so the all-inclusive path means everything's already in it. There's nothing lacking. You know, that would be like saying, you know, okay, you know, well, you know, then we, you know, it's like, well, we, you know, we could have a, you know, a snack, or we could have some sweets, or, you know, maybe a drink, or, you know, some little appetizers, you know, just some like little things like this. But then, there's also the, you know, the option of the Raj Bhog. But you know, if we had the Raj Bhog, would we be able to get all these other things? You know, don't we need them also? You know, you have to have Raj Bhog and the sweets, or Raj Bhog and the you know, the salties, or no, Raj Bhog, it means it's all there. It's all included. Every preparation is there. Like that. And so that's that aspect is already there. So bhakti is all inclusive, karma, jnana, yoga are already in there. Whatever benefits you can get are already there, and it's simpler, and you get better results. You know, it's like, what do you call it? Double the result for half the work. You know, but that's just being a general. It's way more than that. So, yeah.
Right. So it's interesting that it says, to realize the soul, that the soul is such a Sachitananda, so it's somehow realizes the soul, but without the soul, without the most important part of the soul.
Mm. Yes. No, that's a very nice point. Because Prabhupada mentions that these impersonalists, they only understand sat and a touch of chit. There's a touch that they understand that they're Brahman, but it's only being understood from that aspect of who they are. But it's not a complete realization even of sat, because they don't know, they know something about themselves, but they don't know about the Lord and that relationship. So it's not actually, the sat's not complete. You know, so therefore that knowledge is there, that chit aspect won't be. So they're only endeavoring only that much. They don't endeavor in context of the relationship. And they're like you said, Ananda is not, therefore not possible. You know it's like saying, okay, you have a, you know, how you say, you have a pot. So therefore now it's everything's done. So you have to have the pot, you have to have the water, you have to put the rice in the water, then you get it. They think, no, just by having the pot, now everything's done.
In the air in the pot.
Yeah, the air in the pot. Yeah. Then if you break the pot, the air in the pot, the air outside the pot, then merge. And then, yeah, they're not going to do well. O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees, having impure intelligence, because of not having devotion to you, think that they are liberated and become jivan muktas after severe austerities and penances, they fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for the lotus feet of you and your devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. So here it also brings the Lord and the devotees, like it says, one who has that affection for the devotee as much as the Lord. They actually is revealed, because the point is this Lord and his devotees. That's the actual position. Like, there isn't something else. It's not just the Lord on his own. It doesn't exist. Paramatma is localized. But the point is he's localized where? Where the devotee is. Whether the person knows that they're a devotee is another thing, but the Lord is where the devotee is.
And also, Maharaj, it's interesting that he makes this point and then he quotes these particular verses, because he could have quoted different verses to substantiate the same point. But it's very nice how you get inside the acharyas, how they will prove the point. So you can,
yes.
It's just inside them, they were thinking of it.
Yeah, because it's a particular mood. It means that mood, and depending on which aspect of that mood you bring out, that there's no, it's like you see us with the residents of Mathura or Bhishma Dev, you know, from the and that they don't have any, or even in, you see in the Madhva Shris, you know, in talking about the devotion of the gopis. So none of these areas, so Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha, none of them have a problem that the gopis have such great devotion. You know, it may inspire within them. I mean, in other words, the nature of what they have, you know, is there. Then what that inspires in them may be different. But the point is the understanding's the same. Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes that point, and Prabhupada also, that there's only one viewpoint in the spiritual world. Right? There may be different angles of it and different flavors, but there's not. But in the material world, there's like so many different philosophies. You karma and jnana, and then each one of them has so many breakdowns, and then combinations of these. Right? Yes. But in the spiritual world, it's all, you know, the soul is Brahman, Krishna is part of Brahman, and they, as his part and parcel, they serve him. That doesn't change. You know, so you might get some different flavors. So like you said, they'll bring out these ones. So he's given, like you see this happen a lot, is he'll start with Upanishads. Once that's established, then he'll bring out the depth of that from the Bhagavatam. Because if you just say Bhagavatam, someone will say, well, what is that? You know, but as soon as you show the Upanishad, the Shruti, then the Smriti in context of that then has its value. So the above two verses indicate that bhakti is independent and jnana and vairagya are dependent. Right? Because that was the things, jnana and vairagya come from bhakti because it's all inclusive. So bhakti functions on its own, jnana and vairagya will come naturally from that. You practice jnana and vairagya separately, then like here, beating empty husks, or you know, it's imagined, you know, that they're due to their false ego. So that's the fun part, is they think, I am Brahman, I am great, I am this and that. But the whole point is that's still false ego, because they think that they've become part of Brahman, which is not possible. So with that consciousness that's not real ego, that means it's mundane. So even though they're thinking that they've come to the point, that's why it says it's imagined, they've come to the point of actual Brahman realization, they haven't, because they actually don't know what is Brahman. Because Brahman means there's Supreme Brahman, and there's Shakti Brahman. So since they don't know that, they don't actually know Brahman. They don't know Supreme Brahman. They don't know the energies of the Lord. You know, so they actually don't, and they say Brahma Jyoti, but the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. So that means it's actually, you know, has that inherent aspect of the Shaktis are included. Right? And then they're not manifest, just like his form is not manifest. So they actually don't know Brahman. They have a hint. That's why it says it's just a hint. that there's something beyond, but they actually, due to their attachment to the material qualities, they don't, you know, they can't know. And they're attached to the negative. So that makes it even more difficult.
So we can say the Brahma Buddhas, they don't really know Brahma.
No. No. But they're glorious in that they're above the karmis and yanis and all that. But they don't. They don't really know. They have to at some point come to the point of Shanta Rasa, come to the point of bhakti. Otherwise, then they'll go back and just be another face in the crowd. You know? I mean, one has to remember that all those, you know, how you say those, what are they called? Is it the C1H2 microbes that are floating around? At one point, they were all Lord Brahma. You know, so it's like, just because they're Brahmavadis and big guys doesn't mean that they're going to be the next, you know, they might be the, you know, what is it? Monkey pops going around, you know. So it's just, so, you know, somebody has to do it, right? You know, so just another living entity. So that's the thing, is that until they come that, and they come in touch with the devotees, and they appreciate that, and therefore take up bhakti, only then their position becomes perfect. Now, if they get that association very quickly, they can move forward. You know, because they don't have any conditioning. They still have that the karma sharir, and you control and enjoy it. But they don't have anything else. So for them, very quickly, they can move forward. But still, it's only by the association of devotees and that they can move farther and come to the platform of prema. But it won't take them much to guess it's dry up there, so he dries out and then not gets wet again. That's one of the things you know when the summer's here, when the bamboos, the dry ones, then those joints, they pop. Mm-hmm. You just hear it now, you hear this pop sound, and you know, okay, so we'll, you know. We'll do that for a few days. So,
yeah,
so that means karma, jnana, bhakti, it means dharma, it means bhakti, karma, jnana, and vairaga. You know, and that these aspects, these secondary aspects of dharma, they only have a validity, a real validity in context of bhakti. Otherwise, in the material platform, yes, they're great, but then, you know, I mean, it's just like the ants come together, two nests of ants come together. There's a big war there. On their level, it's like, you know, something out of, you know, Ben-Hur or something. You know, it's like, it's big. It's a big thing. You know, hundreds, thousands of them die, and it's a real mess. But for us, it's not, what, get the broom, you know, just leave it gone. But for them, it's this big, huge stuff. So in the same way, it's like we're doing this whole thing, Bhumi Devi just laughs. You know, like that, the demigods, they don't even bother coming around. Who wants to watch? You know? So, you know. Thus, what is stated is, dharma which results in bhakti is successful. Right? So in other words, bhakti is independent. You connect your dharma to bhakti. That means your conditioning, your position is connected to bhakti. That becomes successful.
It's interesting how practical these definitions are. If the result is bhakti, successful. If it's not...
Yeah, otherwise you just get a position, you move up, you have some influence, you know, like this. It doesn't. What does it matter? Because after time it goes. You know? And, you know, as I said, you know, however good you are, there's someone who's better. You know, it's always, it's just the way it works. You know? And then it's just a matter of time. Like, you know, you have the big lion in the pride. and then, you know, he's the man, but at some point he gets a little older, and then one of the younger guys that comes up and has attained, you know, full strength, and then drives him out. So here he's the big guy and this and that, runs the whole thing, and the next moment he's out on his own. He's got nothing. He nowhere to go. He's no other prize going to take him. He can't go back to that one. So now he just, you know, so in other words, you know, in the Vedic system, like the humans, then the humans had that option to take sannyas. You know, that they'd give up the mentality. But the lions, because of the mode of passion, they're forced to take sannyas, you know, and they don't seem to appreciate it. Well, they adjust with it, but. So even in the animal kingdom, you end up with that. If they work in groups, it always happens. At some point, someone's going to kick you out. Riti. Having proven that the real goal of Dharma is developing bhakti for the Lord, the next Anucheda asserts the same principle through negation by stating that sense gratification is not the goal of Dharma. Right? It means Dharma is for, the positive is for Krishna. It's not for sense gratification. Like that that verse where it says that, you know, Dharma will give artha, but artha should never be used for sense gratification. You know, so that's the negative side. It should be used for service. Yes. It's all for Krishna. Yes. Anucheda 5-6. Others think that the goal of Dharma is material objects. The result of these objects is fulfillment of desire, and the result of fulfillment of desire is pleasure of the senses. Right? So that means they're having that desire. That desire then gives rise to the senses. So he's given that jnana and vairag, so mukti, because you can say of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, you're going to have to say moksha is the higher one. Right? So having removed that, then naturally then dharma, artha, kama, you know, dharma used for artha and kama has to be removed. It naturally is removed. But still we go through the motions, because otherwise some people might not actually catch that it is what is going on.
Huh? Yeah. Perhaps you just predicted which verses will follow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That pleasure gives rise to more acts of Dharma. That is rejected in the next two verses. Dharmasya japavargasya nartor tayo papal tayo pakalpate nartasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhya hi smitaha. Labhaya hi smitaha. Material results are not suitable as the goal for the person dedicated to bhakti, apavarga. Attainment of material assets is not the desire of the person who is dedicated to the higher path. For one who desires apavarga, bhakti, sense pleasure, attained from enjoying sense objects is not the goal as long as one lives. So that means it never is. You know, because after you're dead, it's really hard to enjoy. So then, we just, you know, it's basically just in a pleasant way saying never. So in this case, always say never. Right? Yeah. Kamasya Nendriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Narto Yascheha Karmabhihi. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. Srimad Bhagavatam 1-2, 9-12, 10. So, it starts off with 1-2, and you go 9 through, and you see the 1, you go back to the beginning, the 12. Yeah, so that it's just a matter of healthy life, but healthy life means for performing devotional service, because you say healthy life means dharma, therefore is serving Krishna. We've already established dharma is for bhakti.
And so if you have a healthy life, it's only for bhakti. You have to just be healthy on its own, and that's a goal. That's not very, very glorious. You know, so for the devotees, it's a distraction. You just live a simple life, and that is healthy. You know, those things that come easily, you do those things. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Apavarga means bhakti, according to Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19, 19-20. Liberation is then achieved. That liberation, whose essential nature is unmotivated bhakti yoga to the Lord, full of qualities, who attracts the minds of all beings, who is not the object of merging, who is not described by material world words, who remains beyond destruction of the universe, who is the most excellent Atma, who is the son of Vasudeva, takes place by destruction of the knot of ignorance which causes various material goals, when there is association with devotees of the Lord. So that's why then, that point, that first one in the bhakti, it's the association of the devotees that then makes it. You have faith in the Lord, but that won't necessarily reveal the scriptures. When you have faith in the devotee as much as the Lord, that's what it reveals. So that means for the neophyte position, it can be weak if there's not that faith in devotees. Because the neophyte means is they have faith, means in that strong faith, that fixed faith in the Lord, but not necessarily the devotees. So then they're counted as a neophyte. When they have that faith in the devotees as much as the Lord, that's when they become the monkeys. Does that make sense?
But it would look like it's finite intelligence to find hope in the world.
Yeah, yeah. That's considered, because that's the thing, is you sit around and proof on everybody else and this and that. And there's a sense of superiority and keeps you busy and all that. But then the problem is that it's superficial. It doesn't have a foundation. You know? So then we see is that here, suddenly the guru, then it'll have there and it'll get fixed, so then we can see in the nearby to get that. But that will bring them very quickly, but it still has to expand to include the other devotees. You know, so that's then where the thing comes, is that making friendship with the devotees. So you see devotees in that context. So then they deal differently. I remember once, it was interesting. And they were in Vrindavan during Kartik, and it happened to be either just before or just during the Pandava Panchak. And I think they had an arrangement before, is that, I don't know if it's still going on, that there would be some kind of discussions, some kind of class on, in Prabhupada's house. Can't remember where we would sit. It might have been just in his living room, or it might have been in the room next to it. I don't remember what it was, but it was an arrangement by who was running the house that there would be these regular discussions. You know? And so we went for one once, and somebody asked a question about that Pandava Panchak, in which, on a diet that you have Panchagavya, the five aspects of the things from the cow, so the what you call it, milk, yogurt, ghee, cow urine, and cow dung. And they mentioned about, the vrata of each day. One day you take milk, one day you take yogurt, one day you take ghee, one day you take cow urine, one day you take cow dung. And vrata. So in the Pancharatra, it doesn't have that. And so I was familiar with that aspect. So I didn't know that there was also a vrata defined like that in the Vedic, right? They'll have, like all these Chandrayana and all these different things, kinds of special fastings and all that. So it does have something there. Of course, when you say cow urine, it means water with a drop of cow urine in it. Or cow dung means water that you put a little bit of cow dung in, and after mixing it, you sift it. It doesn't mean you sit down with a cow dung patty and start chewing away. I mean, it's not so bad. You put some ghee on it or something, like that. A little yogurt around. cow dung patty, cow dung chop, you know, like that. Little chop masala, you know. So I wasn't, because I hadn't worked in that area. I'd worked with the Chaturmasya, but it's not one of the ruttas in Chaturmasya. So then, at least not one of the main ones, so I didn't know about it. And so I had made some comments on why I make up these things and all this and that, and you know, why I take things to the point. Because normally what they do is they take Panchagavya. Another way is in the Pancharatra, you take the Panchagavya, the five are mixed. And there's an order you mix them, because if you mix them in the wrong order, they won't go together. You mix them in the right order. You know, you start from the back and over the front. Then it'll mix. And then that's taken, and a drop of that is taken, or it's used to sprinkle, or things like that. So I knew it about that, but they're talking about, you know, having a good meal. You know, So then I didn't know about it. So I made some, snide comments like that. What I didn't know is that, and these were boys from the 24-hour kirtan. Mm. Right? What I didn't know is the leader of the 24-hour kirtan, you know, there's a system that was being taken, mic is there, and you could listen on the radio. Yeah. So then later, I'm not sure when it was, it wasn't the same day, but after some days, maybe it was after the program, after it was all over, then he came up to me and was mentioning that. But he was coming up and saying, name is Bhakti Vinti. He said, you should know all these things, don't you know? And then he quoted from the scripture and where it's mentioned, I think it said some Purana and stuff like that. How about this Vata and how it's done? Like that. But the way he did it was just like coming up to a friend and telling him, how to get to the temple or something. what they're serving at lunch, for the feast, that kind of thing. And so you can't get disturbed or upset and like that. It's just like, oh, I didn't know. Okay. So that's the thing of being friends with the devotees. You see them as friends, so you don't find fault. You can point out something. But so in other words, these things are based on qualities, having that kind of purity, that quality. So it's not a social technique. That's why Prabhupada said it's not a separate thing of practice. Oh, I gotta be humble and this and that. How can I be humble? Oh, I'll lay down in front of the temple. Have you ever seen sometimes you go into temples and especially more Hindu temples, but like that, sometimes on the stone steps going up, there'll be a carving of a devotee doing dandabhas there. That means that some devotee, let's say, paid for those steps, and he just asked that they put that there so everybody who comes up will step on it. Like that. I'm not sure if sometimes I've seen names. Sometimes names on the steps. And stuff. So that way then they get the dust from the Vaishnavas, or whoever's coming. So you don't have to go out and lay on the steps so that, like that. But it's just that whenever the opportunity comes up where you need to be humble, then make the effort. You'll get the practice. But these 26 qualities that they're talking about, that humility, that's inherent coming from the bhakti. That's the nature of the soul. That's where that's coming from. So, okay. We didn't finish that one. Okay. Skanda Purana says, Nishchala Twai Bhaktir Ya Saiva Muktir Janardana. Mukta eva hi bhaktaste tava Vishno yato harehe. No, hare. O Janardana, O Lord, unswerving bhakti to you is liberation, mukti, or apavarga, since those who are liberated are devotees of Vishnu. This apavarga means that which produces bhakti. Artaya means for producing results.
The knowers of truth do not consider that the goal of real dharma is for producing material results, artaya. Right? Because from dharma, then you get artha. No, from dharma should come apavarga. Right? But that apavarga has to be in context of bhakti. Otherwise, it's not real apavarga. Because they'll come back. You know, like that. So that's how you know. Because so then you can understand that the what do you call it? The, you know, how you say? Arnold G is not transcendental, right? Because he always comes back. No?
As long as you can get to the chakra.
Yeah. So that's the point. He has to, so it's not, this means you go there, you don't come back. No? So we have to see is that that's the direction. We use dharma as a support for our position in Jnanamaya. Right? That we know we're not the body, we're the soul, and we're trying to engage in the activities of sadhana. So we use dharma to engage that conditioning. But the purpose of it is for anandamaya, for pleasing Krishna, pure bhakti. So that thing, with that, trying to please Krishna there, that's then what's going to make it work. Right? So we're not interested in artha and kama. They'll come on their own. If there's artha, if there's dharma, artha and kama come anyway. But for our point is whatever artha comes, we use it in the Lord's service. And from that you get prasadam and other facilities, the senses are engaged. You know, you offer incense to the Lord, there's something nice to smell. You know, flowers like this, you know, prasad, you have something to eat. So it comes as a side thing. You don't do it for that. But those who do dharma because of the artha and kama, they're foolish. So like we were discussing the other day about if people are saying, no, you know, we have to do this, it's my duty, it's my dharma, it's like this and that, and I'm being practical. It's that okay, yes, as a body, as a gross and subtle body, yes, that is the dharma of the body. But the point is, since you're not the body, it's not your dharma. Your dharma is bhakti. So therefore you do your dharma and the body will do its dharma. And so the two can go together. But if the soul focuses on the body, the gross and subtle body's dharma, and doesn't see it in context of their own actual dharma or sub-dharma, then that's just like the animals. Dogs are doing dog dharma. They have to. You go by, they have to bark. You know, if they didn't bark, would they be a dog? You know, like that. I mean, it's just like, they have to. So that's the thing. You think of that, then that's what they do. You know, cats climb trees, chase mice. You know,
parasite.
Yeah. So this thing where it said they show you a picture of a cat staring at you. It says cats actually understand what you're saying. They just decide not to care. Yeah, or respond, or, you know, do anything. It's not that they don't understand what you're saying. It's just they're not going to get involved. It's this petty, you know, lower level. Yeah. So it's like, you know, dogs do dog stuff. And he's just like, you know, if something's horizontal, they have to, you know, like you say, have some interaction. Right? You know, so they just, no, horizontal, no, vertical. Vertical. Yeah, they have to. They have to go. So, the thing, these are inherent. So the thing is, this inherent in the jiva is bhakti. So if the jiva, if we're talking about dharma, that means the gross body is engaged in its dharma, the subtle body in its dharma, and the soul in its dharma. Right? So the body, the senses, the mind, the consciousness are all, so atma is engaged in the Lord's service, not just part of it. So when we catch the atma, meaning just the soul, and we engage in the direct activities, then that's good, that's the best. But at the same time, as if we don't catch that dharma also is including the others, then we'll start to see it as separate. So then the atma, the body, mind, and the senses, and the intelligence, then we'll see that separate from the consciousness. So that's not actually self-realization. You may have a theoretical idea that I'm not this body, but unless you act in that way, you can't call it vijnana. So if you're acting and don't have that, you're saying, you know, we're not this body, therefore this, and then acting in that way, but that actually is, has nothing to do with that I'm not this body, then that action can't be called mature. It's not vijnan. You know, and so the position of the devotees is to act on the platform of vijnan, because they act in that. Maybe they don't have the full realization, but they're situated. In other words, their consciousness may not always be there, but they're situated there. And so that's why then you want to cultivate as much of the anandamaya as possible, and with the support of the manamaya, or the religious aspect. But the artha and kama, that's not cultivated for their own consciousness.
Yeah, I was just remembering that the example from Yaya and Charvak, how everybody laughs at him because he says, "I believe only in pratyaksha," but then he's using logic.
Mm, yeah.
So it's the same principle. I mean, devotees' philosophy sometimes on this level it's very dense. It's jivas. But even less than that, Bhagavatam one. So even it's by logic, it's illogical what
yes.
they're saying. You know
yes.
that you know this body, but and then given the illogical yes. argument as a continuation of that statement,
yes.
so they contradict themselves.
Yes.
So on that level, if they can catch that, we can probably explain. Mm-hmm. But if it's an ego thing, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's from Mahabharata, a famous saying that dharma raksha rakshitaha.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? How does it sound? Dharma raksha rakshitaha?
Yes, a bit.
Yeah. So, but then I was here in OnePlus, and I never heard that there's a half of the verse previous to that.
Oh.
So dharma, yeah.
Right. It's always like that. It's
yeah.
like you're going to the Marwari's office, and they'll always say the what is it, karma nyeva nikardaste. You have a right to do your duty, but ma phaleshu kadachana, they'll never say that.
Yeah. So the famous saying says that dharma will protect those
who follow
dharma. But then the previous says is that if you don't follow dharma, it will destroy you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's actually complete.
Okay.
So it's not an option actually, because some people think, yeah, okay, dharma, it's kind of nice, but there's another option. But then you have to take the consequences of that option, that it will destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's very interesting. Because otherwise just take it. No. Yeah, I don't want to take it. I mean, the tendency is to take the part that you like.
Yeah.
That's the point of mimamsa. No, you have to take the whole thing.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, that doesn't apply. No, it
yeah.
does apply. You have to see. If you say it doesn't apply, you have to show how it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Means it's real. It may not apply to your situation, but it's applicable. Mm. Whose situation that you have to see.
Mm. I have just a side point of talking on quoting verses, but not on the context of all this. This famous Nietzsche saying that God is dead. There is a continuation of this. So he says, we have killed him, and we can never wash away the blood from our hands. So this is the most grievous sin that can be.
So that's after he says God is dead? That's never quoted.
Maybe the dangerous we thought.
Yeah.
Slightly less.
Yeah, he's just a little lower. Right?
So,
I mean, there's the standard, at least a little bit down. There must be some other aspects. No? Because if you say Nietzsche, it means
Nietzsche
it's below. Yeah, like this. This is the earth. This is now Nietzsche. It's below. So a little below the standard. Or you could say it from another hand. So he's below the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore he's Nietzsche. Below the feet of the Vaishnavas. So. That's far out.
So it's more like
never hear that.
The mood is more like feeling sorry that we don't have faith in God anymore. And he predicted that because we lost this, we'll have to substitute this faith in God, and we have to come up with some dharma which will be detrimental for us. And he predicted that many people in future will be killed because of this. So he predicted, in a sense, Hitler, communists, that we'll have to come up with some totalitarian speculative
Basically totalitarian.
Yeah. So,
that's interesting. So if you don't have God, you will come up with a totalitarian thing, because that's the way it always goes. So you go too far to the left, it becomes totalitarian. You go too far to the right, it always becomes totalitarian. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
There's that verse that says, if you're not following Shastra, you will engage in mental speculation. It's like there's no other option.
Yeah. Well, that's
interesting. Or you will accept dharma, or you will come up with
it. Yes. Or you'll make up dharma. Yeah, because that's what you do. You kick out tradition, and then they'll make up their own. And tradition is not absolute. Everything's relative. And it's amazing that the rules that they come up with are absolute. They're not relative.
They say religion is oppressive, but they came up with actually something that is really oppressive.
Yeah, way more oppressive.
They want to oppress what they say is oppressive.
Sorry, what?
They want to oppress what they say is oppressive.
Yes, oppress what they say is oppressive. And impress with their oppressiveness. It's like even in the church, you just kicked out. Here they send you off to Siberia. So, a deeper meaning to being kicked out.
This is actually historically, I read about it, because you often mention the historical box and the Roman. So actually, they had a disagreement between the Constantinople
and Rome,
and each of the heads cursed the other one and say, "You are a heretic now. You out of the
Anatha.
Yeah, you out of the church." And that the other one, of course,
hasn't been lifted.
Really,
it's not lifted yet. No. It's still
really?
Going on.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Withdrawn.
So they want to forgive each other.
Huh. How long ago was that?
15 years back. 50 years back in the mid last
century. Okay, like in the 60s or the 70s or something. Oh yeah, because they had a council like in the 70s or something that they haven't had for like hundreds of years. Like they had Nicaea and all those, but they have a council, some big things, so that they must have discussed that. But both of them have agreed to that, or only the Catholics, or only the Orthodox?
Well, officially they gave
each other. Oh, really? So they came together and broke bread?
Because at the time arising ecumenic movement, means Christian movement, which wanted to again
unite the church.
All Christian church.
Oh, so there's a movement to unite them all. And they stand on corners and play guitars, those guys? Or?
But they forgive, but that doesn't mean they lifted the curse.
No, what do you call it?
they forgive, but they don't forget.
Yes.
I heard some people say that. It says here, but you have to forgive. You know, does that mean we have to forget? Okay, I can forgive, but I can't forget.
Well, this is Jewish.
The main point of problem between them, why the church itself and the Lebes section was because they wanted to say who should rule on the church. And Catholics wanted that only one person rule, and the Orthodox church says that there are five churches, which existed at that time, they should run as a Christian world together. But when Orthodox Church separated from Roman Church, after that, these five churches started to fight with each other who should be first. And till now, they can't have agreement.
Which of those was?
It was from Byzantium.
Byzantium?
Yeah. Then Alexandria, then Cappadocia, and
the main seats of the main.
So Orthodox were actually for the council. They wanted it together.
They wanted GBC and Catholics. They wanted the
Church. A charger.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, is that the GBC is the cutting edge. But then they couldn't maintain it.
The official point was: should they receive one of
them? Yeah, should they wear
beards or not?
Well.
That was the whole fight of whether they should have beards.
And the dramatic point was, should they consider the same spirit comes from Jesus Christ and from Father, or only from our Father?
So, Catholics say it comes from?
Both.
From both? And Orthodox?
And the Orthodox, they say from the Father.
From our Father.
None of them say coming from the Holy Ghost. But, you
know, that's the ghost. But the ghost comes from Father or Jesus.
Oh, where the Holy Spirit comes from.
Oh, where the Spirit comes from. I thought you said saint. The ghost. Oh.
What's the origin of the Holy Ghost?
So it's the Father.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. The Catholics, I think, are the most. Well, it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. See, that's what happens when you throw out tradition. So some who, you know, are really into, you know, the historical thing, they'll say that the whole Christian thing that we have nowadays, you know, whatever branch, it actually technically should be called Paulinism. Because it comes from Paul. It's not actually coming from Jesus. Is Paul's interpretation of what Jesus did. Because Jesus was Jewish. He was just trying to bring about, you know, some devotion instead of just smartness. You know? Like that. Either they're too loose, too much in the karma, they're too much in the ritual. You know, just going, they're becoming deviated, just trying to be back to pure bhakti. But then he didn't want the tradition. He didn't want the lifestyle. He was, you know, I say he was Jesus West.
Roman Jello.
Yeah. And so therefore then you got that, and then that's where all the problems go. You know, all these different...
He thought he's so smart.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So he was very attached and very proud of his, you know, position as a citizen of Rome. Because his family was, you know, wealthy enough that they could citizenship. And so then, and Rome also has all that interest in the East, you know, in Greece, you know, their philosophy and that. So he's into, you know, Jesus stuff is kind of like that sentiment as far as philosophy. He was into the West. That's why it was, you know, the whole thing, the Holy Ghost, the Trinity, that's from Paul. It's not from Jesus.
It's
yes, but I'm saying it's a Greek thing. It comes from the Greek. It's a Greek philosophy.
And so, because he introduced this whole thing in connection with that, so therefore then you see what's happening. He's just trying to, you know, and then, you know, his whole point is that these, you know, upper class Romans, why they should have to live the Jewish lifestyle, you know, because it's always, you know, it's, of course, the, you know, the first world is always so much more, what do you call it? You know, aristocratic and, you know, logical and intelligent and cultured than, you know, all these third world savages, you know. So it's there's no difference in the thought he had then and the thought that goes on now. It's the same thing. And he was sincerely thinking that this will make very good, you know, devotees. But then the whole point is then you get this whole thing, you know, the church against the Jews, church against the churches. So, you know, otherwise before that, then you didn't have as much. You know, you're always going to get something. But it just creates this unnecessary aspect because you're basing it on these, on, you're taking the, as we said before, the lower levels of Atma, meaning, you know, the body, the mind, and the words, and taking that as the prominent rather than Atma, meaning the consciousness, you know, in line with Paramatma. So they miss that. And so when you put that emphasis there, that's where you end up. So you have the same thing, but because it's all based on the same scripture and it governs the whole lifestyle, therefore, even if they get attracted by karma and jnana, it won't take them culturally as far away. They can still all basically live together, you know, unless they get aggressive or something, but they can all be together. But in these others, because you've given up that, then what's to define? When is the Christian lifestyle? So therefore, the Catholics will say their Christian lifestyle. The Orthodox will say theirs. And then you have the Coptic, you know, or the Oriental, you know, then you have the Protestants. So what is a Christian lifestyle? There isn't one. You can't define one. You know, I think the only common point of standard is you can't eat people. I think that's the only regulation on what you eat. Otherwise, everything else is how do you say, open season. Yes. Yeah. So you know. So, but otherwise, what is Christian clothes? What's Christian lifestyle? What is Christian, you know, how you speak or language or interact? There is nothing. It's defined by the local culture. So that was Paul's whole thing. So we don't need this whole culture because, you know, what he says is the importance of the, what do you call it? The Vani is more important than the Vapi. So he's taking that position, but then he takes it and reinstates it as a Roman lifestyle. You know, and you can accommodate Greek, you know, because, you know, they're respected, they're considered like the more, you know, the higher grade. You know, it's like when Frodo went to the east, you know, the elves, you know, it's like going to Greece or something. You know, they don't, you went across the Aegean, you know, the west, you went to the west. How did he go to the west? How did he get there? Oh, well, he has to turn it around, otherwise people will get, too many people will make it there.
So. Mordor's in the east.
Huh?
Mordor is the east.
Yeah, it yeah, should be the east. Yeah, so, like that.
So, well, actually, if everything is, like you say, it's the same thing, so we know what happened to them, so what will happen to us?
The difference is that with us, is that it's Lord Chaitanya's movement. And so it has its time for its 10,000 years, and so it will run the way Lord Chaitanya wants it. We get to do whatever we like, because like you said, you do things that are different from what are recommended. You see, the movement still goes on. It means so many obstacles, but the movement goes on. Because Lord Chaitanya is in control. So it's just a matter of purifying, you know, the individuals until they're comfortable with how Lord Chaitanya wants things to learn. Because we don't mind what the background is. What, we don't care. And wherever you're situated, start the process. And then what is useful for you, you keep. And what's not useful for you, you get rid of. You know? Like that. So it works. So it's already inherent in our philosophy. So then to take that and emphasize that, because I want to keep certain attachments and get rid of all the Vedic cultural things, then it's not a Krishna conscious foundation. It's a purely mundane foundation. You can say whatever you want, but it's like, if that's the case, then the Hindus are, you know, they're doing well according to that definition.
Technically,
yeah.
Not necessarily
Hindus, because
it's
not. Yeah. So, and then it's the Protestants and it's like that. They kicked out the tradition that they created over so many thousand years. Then the Protestants kicked that out, and then they start all over again. And so with time, they'll kick that out. So it just goes on and on and on, because there's no set cultural standards. There's no set religion. In other words, Paul kicked out the Jewish religion and kept the philosophy as Jesus gave it. But he kicked out the religion, so that's what goes on. So therefore, then they fight over that. So they don't accept the Vedic religion and all these things, or at least the principles of it. Okay, be clean, be this, be charitable, be detached and all that, then what's best for that? If you want to be clean, a dhoti is way more able to be clean than a pair of jeans. Even you wash the jeans nicely because of all those, so in other words, they're limiting. It's not like what the Jaimini says. So it's not actual hermeneutics, it's just their own attachments. Yes?
Tradition.
Prediction. So something about Nostradamus, or
because I have heard that one lecture of one spiritual master to say that if this corn will be the philosophy or practice on this corn will be changed, then another person will come and he will deal with it your way.
Yeah, but that person will come will follow Prabhupada's instructions. Just like Prabhupada came, did he start his own thing, or he's giving us Jiva Goswami and the six Goswamis and Vishwanath? And the point is there. The point is you won't need, because there's always going to be people coming along and giving an inspiration like that. That's always going to happen. That's just natural. So, but it's just a matter of how long their mission is for. Like that. So this is for 10,000 years, so it will happen. Point is that even now you have people who are stepping to the side because they don't like certain things that are going on. Whether they're stepping aside because of the desire for purity or because of their independence, you have to see. But the point is it will go on. I mean, how did it go with Gaudiya Mada? And then one person carried it on. And then when that mat connects in some indirect way to Prabhupada and his methods and all that, then it starts to flourish again. So the founder Acharya is the founder Acharya. So if anybody comes in the future, there won't be another founder Acharya. He's already the founder Acharya. They will then inspire people to follow Prabhupada's books. It's not that there'll be another whole thing. No, it wouldn't be that. That's does that make sense?
It
doesn't matter. It's the teachings that are. We're a Siksha Sampradaya. It's the teachings that are important. But unless you follow the teachings according to the founder Acharya, you won't be able to unlock them. You know what I'm saying? The Alwars were there before, for thousands of years. But who was understanding or taking advantage? Until Ramanujacharya came, you didn't understand them. Does that make sense? So that means the founder Acharya means that founder doesn't mean the one who starts a society. Founder is the one who gives the instructions through which you can understand all the teachings of the Parampara in their proper context. So if you try to approach the previous Acharyas without Prabhupada, you won't really catch it. Because the founder is saying, what is the essence of the line? You can say, oh, but then you're saying Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. No, but Prabhupada is saying what he said. He's making it so you can, it's accessible. You don't need a dictionary to read it, what he says. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you don't keep a dictionary, you can't read what he says. You know? You know, probably
in Cambridge or something. Cambridge or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe other than Rabindra Sarup, then Prabhu, you know, everybody else would need a dictionary.
Even those who went to Cambridge, if they are from literary field, they cannot understand, because ours, most of the like obscure words are from scientific background. What he was using, the substratus.
Yeah, he used a lot, because they're very exact.
Yeah.
Like that. Or sometimes you use these old Latin terms. And there's a few, I'm not sure, sometimes these old Christian terms, they go back on the Latin, so they'll be like 1,000-year-old terms. Then they work very nice.
Tabernacle,
which
is
the bear?
Tabernacle.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is well, that Jewish.
Yeah. Because it just means the, you know, the holiest of holies. It's the so the point is it's not about the name of the society. It's about the instructions. So it'll be the same instructions. But they'll have to be based on Prabhupada. So whatever before, when Prabhupada comes, then he's established that as the founder. Everyone else will be following that. Whether it's the same institution or not, or this or that, it'll be based on Prabhupada's instructions. So we have the opportunity that it can be. Because this gun technically means following the instructions that's given by Prabhupada. So we do have the opportunity that we could be. It's just a matter of whether we want to, you know, be involved in it as Prabhupada, or we have our own idea. You know, it's like the highway is going, and then there's all these, how do you say, Auschwitz? Isn't it? That's also. It isn't Auschwitz, isn't it? How do you say it? It means exit?
It could be out, yeah.
It just means you have, you know, you have the highway, and you have all these places you can go off. So you can, but then you can just stay on the highway.
Or Auschwitz, F-A-H-R-T.
Yeah, with the H.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the problem with American, you don't always say all the letters.
Right.
Yeah. So, is that?
My question has to be my son studied his first Guru and Gujarati in Moscow. Many times it was said that Iskorn is faultless, or GBC faultless, and on his own spine, Iskorn can get, can we say, that's very similar to the Christian position.
Who has written it? Means who has written these courses and that? You know, I'm just saying, what background are they coming from? They'll be coming definitely from some kind of Abrahamic background. I doubt there's anybody. Is there anyone in the GBC who's from a Buddhist background?
Buddhist?
Yeah. No.
It's not even Banos from.
No,
he's not from.
Maybe Shinto. But, you know, so it's going to be coming from their Abrahamic thing, and what's the prominent thing? But what makes economics work? Do the economics, modern economics, don't work on Catholicism or Judaism or Orthodox or any of these other, or the Muslim? It works on the Protestant. Protestant means there is no stand. It's all relative. You know, so then it's all in this... you know, God is there, but we're controlling. God created the world; He gave it to us, and so now He doesn't run it; we run it. So they deify.
Yeah,
like that. I think they call that humanism or something like that, or there's some technical term for it. And so then it's all based on this, you know. That being said, those founding fathers of America, they were all Christians, you know, and probably quite devout. There were no atheists. But at the same time, as they felt, I mean, Hamilton he's the guy that started the bank. You know, so the Federal Reserve is started by him. You know, so that runs everything. So it's just, it goes back to that. So they're falling back on their conditioning rather than moving forward into what Prabhupada is saying. You know, so in other words,
It's a matter of whether you fall back or spring forward, right? That's the... Is that okay? No, it's very straight. It's a science. It's presented. It's there. You want to do it. It's like on the box. It says how to use it. That you can use it like that, or you can speculate. You know? It's up to you. But, you know, this thing is they're the absolute. Where is it? What does it say? Prabhupada never uses the word absolute. In fact, he specifically uses the word absolute in that you're not. In that letter, the TKG says the GBC is not absolute. You're not absolute. He uses the term, you're not absolute. Because they're taking it like that. No, the ultimate managerial authority, but that doesn't mean you're absolute. You know? The Veda is absolute. The instructions are absolute of the acharyas. That's absolute. Because it's in pursuance of the absolute. So as long as they're in pursuance of that, then it takes on that. But then they on their own are absolute because they're GBC. That's completely bogus. I mean, like, completely bogus. It's like saying karma, because we can use karma in Krishna's service and that way it'll be help create bhakti. Therefore, karma, you know, on its own is important. No, that's a deviation. That's misunderstanding the philosophy. It's bogus. The absoluteness is in line with, and that means every devotee, they do things in line with Krishna, are absolute. So that's our whole point, is we're trying to, everyone function on the absolute platform. But this thing is that their management is that, you know, that's straight out of, you know, that's straight out of dystopian books. I mean, like, straight out of them. Doesn't matter which one, that one is always the point that they always hold. Every one of them. So it's like then they fail. As a group, as an individual, you'll generally see that they're all very, very nice devotees. But as a group, as a governing body, then that point, that will make it fail. Because the point is, absolute means in line with. It's like iron and fire is as good as fire, but to say iron on its own without the fire is fire, that doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. No, when you put the iron in fire and leave it there, it becomes like fire. But the iron on its own, therefore, is fire. That's bogus. So you have to know how the absolute works. To just say it for control. Yes, the natural thing the general devotee is if someone tells you to do something, you do it. Because if it's wrong, the person who told you to do it will get the reaction. The temple president says, go do this. And you do that, you know, to do it, please Krishna and all that. And then from that it goes south. That means the president will get the reaction, not the person who did. So, and that way, yes, you can say that's how it should work. But then they have to understand they're taking the result. Because if they're absolute and everyone follows, that means whatever goes wrong in society by any individual is their problem. And the reaction goes to them. Now, if they told you something, you didn't do it, that's another thing that doesn't go to them. But at the same time, as you usually get tells it, what they're telling you doesn't match with Guru Sadhu and Shastra, you're not obliged to follow it. Prabhupada made that clear when he was talking about New York. That was Bali Madan. You know, everyone fell hook, line, and sinker for his, you know, stupidity. And Prabhupada says, you know, that the devotees from, you know, in India, they wouldn't fall for it. Because they think in these areas. They know the culture. They know the things. They wouldn't have gotten this left. Does that make sense? So, but then you're on your own there. And if they're in, if you've made a mistake, it's yours. But that's the thing, you can't have absolute control and zero responsibility. That's a child, literally. That's children. That's not adults. Adult means you take responsibility.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.